Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Neurology. This podcast aims to bring you expert insights from a multidisciplinary team and a caregiver of a patient with TSC on the current and emerging management strategies for TSC-associated seizures. Financial support for this medical educational activity has been provided to Touch IME by an educational grant from Jazz Pharmaceuticals. In this podcast, a paediatric neurologist and an epilepsy specialist are joined by a caregiver of a patient with TSC to review investigational agents for TSC-associated seizures and their potential impact on patient outcomes.
In this third section, we'll look at emerging agents and their role. My name is Professor James Wheelis. I am Professor in Chief of Pediatric Neurology at the University of Tennessee Health Science Center in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm joined today by Professor Katarzyna Kotulska, who is head of the Department of Neurology and Epileptology at the Children's Memorial Institute in Warsaw, Poland, and by Ms. Lisa Moss, who is Vice President of Donor Relations at the TSC Alliance and is also a mother of a child with tuberous sclerosis complex. She is based in Silver Springs, Maryland, in the United States. As I said, we're going to discuss now kind of emerging agents that will hopefully be there in the near future for patients with TSC-associated seizures and how they may improve the outcome and advance our ability to control seizures with minimal side effects in this hard-to-treat population. And Lisa, maybe it's worth me starting with you, because I think as physicians, we're always excited when we have new therapeutic options. But we have so many options nowadays. This is the challenge I think we always face when we talk to families is, you know, how many options, you know, do you have to have, I guess, failed, or how many options have failed you, if you want to think of it that way, I guess is a better way to put it. You know, before you're ready to think about, you know, a new agent, a new trial of a new drug that we know some about, but, you know, instead of just, you know, continuing to try already, you know, approved other medicine.
First of all, I have to start by saying every parent is different, so I can speak about my own experience. And I know some families are more hesitant to try new things, but in our family situation, we've always been really excited about trying something new. You know, we've had highly intractable epilepsy with Evan his whole life, and so trying to find that right thing has been really important. And we've been willing to try everything. And so as soon as something else becomes available, we start following it and looking at what's being printed about it, what's being said about it. So, you know, some of these medications, as they come onto market, we've already done some due diligence in reading up on them before we even get to the physician's office. And I know we're not the only TSC family that does that. You know, we tend to be a very forward-thinking group and in terms of our advocacy for our kids.
Yeah, I think it's hard for a lot of, you know, families to kind of the idea of a, you know, a newer medicine, and do we know enough for that, you know, to feel safe to move forward with it. Professor, do you want to maybe touch base on some of the ones that are either just starting or on the horizon as far as options for some of our families, and just maybe mention some of those?
Yeah, there are some trials that will be conducted in many countries, including the trials with Basimglurant, for example, ganaxolone, soticlestat, fenfluramine. So there is a lot of drugs that will be tried in tuberous sclerosis, but I think that you raised a very important issue, that for some families who are trying more and more drugs, this might be challenging to decide whether to go for an approved therapy or to try something else earlier before trying every approved option that exists.
So maybe to give a little more detail about some of the either just recently kind of finishing up trials and some of the new ones that are coming up, I'll touch on a couple of those. There were a couple that involved prescription cannabidiol. So the GWP Care 6 trial, which was looking at adding cannabidiol to existing treatment, and then that's gone into open label extension, where in folks that are responding, you can not only adjust the dose of the cannabidiol, but also look at altering their background medications. That has shown improvement that was sustained in seizure control in patients in the trial. I would say the side effect profile confirmed what we'd seen previously. There were no new side effects, no new surprises from that. So that was good, but it was nice to have kind of the dose range sorted out with that trial. Separate from that, there's a couple of other trials that have gone on with cannabidiol. So there's one now looking at infants going down to the first month of life, up to the first year of life. We know these children can start with seizures at age, so we need the kind of data of kind of looking at dosing. How do they absorb this medicine? Do we need to change dosing? And are there unique side effects in that group? That study will hopefully be finished about not quite 2 years from now, in the summer of 2024. So we'll know more about the use in infancy then. We have a new agent, ganaxolone, which is just starting trials in tuberous sclerosis. So there's a large phase 3 trial that goes from age 1 up through adulthood to 65 that's looking as an add-on therapy at seizure reduction that will go on for the next 2.5 years. There is a separate ganaxolone trial that's an open label trial that is, again, looking at add-on, this time at age 2 to 65 that was published. That was kind of the pilot data, if you will, that led to the phase 3 trial. And those patients will continue to be followed. We'll have open label kind of experience and more safety data with them. And then finally, the other recent is a phase 2B trial with the basimglurant. It's looking at patients age 5 to 30. And again, looking at add-on and change in their seizure frequency. And that will be done in about 2 years, too. So it's exciting time for these trials that are going on with an agent we've had, cannabidiol, for a little bit, but then a couple with novel agents as well. One of the compounds that we currently in the States are able to use in adults, kind of on label, cenobamate, has just had very impressive efficacy there. It doesn't work for everybody, but it's for a newer agent, it appears to have really robust efficacy. As we get a liquid and approval in younger children, I'm sure we will quickly move that to our tuberous sclerosis clinic, and it's an approved drug, which means it will be hard for some families to say, gosh, this looks so good for partial seizures. Maybe I should try this before I try experimentally. It will create some conflict, I think, between both families and even investigators. From my standpoint, the key is to make a decision rather than kind of sitting where you are and kind of move on. If it works, great. If it doesn't, you can always go to the other one, right?
Definitely. And I think it's important too for our families to know how important it is to participate in those studies and trials as well, because that is what's going to change the medications that are available to the whole community. So it is really important that that people engage in trials. And, it's challenging. I think sometimes some of the exclusions with trials can be very challenging for our families. If there's too much exclusionary criteria, that definitely has been difficult in the past. So, but when it lines up, it can be great. And to see some of the successes of some of the trials that are enrolling has been really positive.
I think the other kind of thing that the trials help us with is maybe kind of rethink how we sequence the different medications. Because sometimes we say, gosh, yes, we've just shown that this medicine works. But if it has a good safety profile, then we may say, okay, now we know it fits in tuberous sclerosis. Maybe, instead of this being the, 14th or 15th on our list of something to try, we move it up to third or fourth or fifth. So it may help us, with that sequencing, which in my mind is actually critically important as well, too, as we get more options, is how do we think about where to place them? And based on a lot of the different seizure types that some of these kids are having, right? We know that can change over time, but, trying to, again, fit that our treatment to that child and trying to do it. Professor, I don't know if you want to touch on it, but I think that's one of the areas that as we get more and more agents, is just this idea that, you know, I don't know what we want to call it, is consent treatment consensus. I don't, guidelines seems to imply we know more than we do, but at least some idea of, you know, where, you know, infants, you know, seizure types, where we should be going, older kids, you know, kind of, you know, how that may help us sort some of those things out too, even.
Yeah, for sure we need guidelines. For sure we need recommendations. But currently, I think we are at a very interesting moment, because we see some new agents that might have potential for disease-modifying effects. Like, for example, it was shown for fenfluramine and Dravet, when you see that it's not only anti-seizure medication, but also modifying the natural course of the epileptic encephalopathy, which is the case in tuberous sclerosis. So I think we need a kind of a consensus on the combination of anti-seizure medications, the disease modifiers, and mTOR inhibitors, probably for the treatment of other manifestations of the disease. And that's challenging.
I think we're all happy, and our patients are happy, that there are more and more treatments that are being looked at in this area that was ignored for basically decades. We just borrowed our medications from our other patients. So, you know, to see, you know, agents like cannabidiol being used in infancy, to see trials with ganaxolone, to see bassamglurate, you know, trials starting, other trials starting. I mean, I think we all appreciate that we need these. We need options for our patients that kind of standard options are not working as well for. So I think we're all excited about that. The challenge is going to be, as we get all these options, to figure out how do we put that all together and make sense. Because sometimes, you know, having too many choices is almost as bad as having no choices, right? Or limited. It sometimes is overwhelming in the other direction. So I think we're happy that those are there, but it's going to require some work, I think, down the road as well, you know, to figure out where to place them. So thank you very much for your discussion.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Neurology at www.touchneurology.com. Don't forget, there are two other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.